Well, today we're going to have another topical message or another time in God's Word on a topic. You remember last week we were talking about the issue of anxiety, and this week we're going to talk about the issue of grief. Now, just as an aside, they're not necessarily connected. Okay, sometimes anxiety does cause grief. Sometimes grief causes anxiety. That's life, right? But they're not. It's not one to one. Well, grief and anxiety's not the point. These are just topical. And as we dig in, I'll revisit this topic, and we're going to unpack it a little bit. But I am going to be generally talking about a specific expression of grief when someone dies, because grief is very broad. But today we're focusing mostly on that, the specific expression of grief, the grief we experience when someone dies. Hopefully you were helped as we look through anxiety. It's a real issue, and it's a scale. Some of us are on the not as hard, some of us are very difficult for us. And so hopefully you get some practical things on help dealing with anxiety last week. Today we're going to just talk about grief in general. And so let's pray, ask God to guide our time, and should be good. I'm excited about it. I think it's an important topic. You know, something that we all need to think about, right? It's real. It's life. Thank you, God, for, again, the opportunity to dig into your word and to think practically about life. That's one of the things that I know I so appreciate about your work in the world, that it's not theoretical. It's just real life. You've told us how to live. You make a difference in the world, and when we live according to your word, life is generally much better. And I thank you for that. Thank you that your word is powerful and quick and cuts to the who we are, the internal person. And God, you know, as certainly your word tells us, you know about grief and what it's like and how hard it is for us. And so we just pray today that, again, we would understand it better and we would be better equipped to deal with grief and handle it correctly. And that we pray for your guidance as we desperately need, both to discern our own hearts and to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, grief, I'll probably say that word 100 times. Mrs. Smith used to have give an assignment to the little ones, especially the fidgety ones, and how many times will pastor say grief today? Count them up, and it'll be quite a few. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes wasted from my grief. My soul and my body also. Wow. Have you ever felt like that? I have felt like that. And I imagine most of you have. Maybe all of you have. And his eyes wasted. Isn't that the idea of just dried out from too many tears? Right? Really heavy. And I thought I would... It's not necessary, but I thought I would just share a couple of personal experiences of grief for myself this morning as we get started. And just so you know, you already know, but just so you know, I'm not speaking from a place of I don't know what I'm talking about. My first real memory of what I would call grief, to me, we use language way too loosely. You know, and that's okay, I guess. It just is what it is. But, you know, it's just the world we live in, right? We have to deal with it. But to me, grief is something more than just sorrow or sadness. And we'll see some definitions and things as we progress. But my first real experience of grief, I was probably 20-ish, 20-something. And my mom, in her old age, became pregnant. And it was a surprise from nowhere. Wow, you know. And no, you don't need a lot of context, but family wasn't, you know, our family wasn't in the best place. And I was very wild then. I didn't certainly have the Lord. I wasn't following the Lord at that time. And my mom's pregnancy, about halfway through, she got some bad news. The baby had, I believe it was called encephalitis maybe, it had problems with the brain and other things, some genetic problems, and not anticipated to live. And the baby grew, and when my mom was about 7 months pregnant, they talked her into delivering it early, delivering her early. Her name is Grace, and Grace Hope. And they talked her into delivering the baby early, and so she did. And my mom struggled with that the rest of her life. She wished that she hadn't taken that advice. And my dad was not there for any of us, including my mother at the time, which, if you know my dad now, he's got his changed name. He's a wonderful man, but he just had his own problems, and he was not there at all for us. And so my mom weathered that herself and delivered the baby early. And the baby was born with just a brain stem, but no top of the head, and passed 30 minutes or so, 20 minutes later. And I remember that whole process was awful. And I remember going to the funeral and just the loss, just profound. Just the loss was just profound. And you know what? Just mulling in my own mind the things that she would never experience. You know, just it's bizarre to be choked up about it so far later. But it just is. That's grief, right? And then years later, when my mother became sick, you kind of get used to, you know, it was a long process, and you're pushing through things, and you're dealing with the issues of the sickness and trying to help. And being a pastor, trying to shepherd my mother a little, you know, trying to give her some perspective and encourage her and things. And so you don't have time to really grieve until the last couple weeks of her life. And I remember early on, when my mom got the diagnosis, my sister was freaking out. There's no other way to say it. I'm sorry. She would agree. And I told her, I refuse to grieve for a mother who is not dead. And I think that was a good word at that time. I refuse to grieve for a mother who isn't dead yet. Right? Let's let her die before we grieve. Okay? And that was good because it helped us. And, you know, and it was an awful time, and just pushing through all that and dealing with it. But we were thankful, you know, rejoicing and yet sorrowing. And we were thankful to have those many years with my mother and just a different life. She had some very low years. And the last 2 years of her life, she couldn't really do anything. She could hardly get up. Year and a half, couldn't eat any food for a year and a half, ate no food. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? No food. But what was worst, what was hardest for me, was the physical pain my mother had to endure for over a year. Her body would involuntarily rack from pain. That's how hard it was, from the cancer eating her up inside. And it was awful. And when she died, you know, your mother is gone, and it's just something you can't know until you know. You can't know until you experience it. It's just terrible. And grief, real loss, you grieve. And it's profound, it's personal. And even to this day, it seems surreal. How is it true that my mother is dead? And I can't say whether it's wrong or right, but it really changed me as a person when my mother died. It just did. And there are things about me that are not the same. I don't like it, but it's true, you know. I don't like some of the changes that have happened, but it just happened, you know. And I'm working through it. In the process of time, you can work on it, but it's there, right? Grief is reality in our world. We've lost many loved ones. We just buried a family member a month ago. She was in her 90s, and I say it at funerals sometimes. It doesn't matter how old the person is, you know. It's always too young. We've had many friends, many of our Blair Ridge Baptist Church friends have died. You know, so many of the people that called us here are gone with the Lord, and we miss them. And I remember when Robert Heath died, I just said, man, Robert can't die. We still need him. We still need Robert for a while, you know. And Roger died just recently after his long bout with many illnesses, including several cancers as well. Grief is a very personal thing, and we all have to experience it. Can be defined as sorrow, anguish, deep sadness. And again, I think those don't do justice to the word grief as we're trying to define it today. Let's get the next definition up there. As a sadness experienced when a loved one dies. And again, grief, we'll look at a few of these where grief has many meanings in English, unfortunately. But we're talking particularly about this expression of grief. This will be our working definition for this morning. A sadness experienced when a loved one dies. And you could even add a profound at the beginning of that, a profound sadness. It's different. You do feel it very deeply. Now, grief is broader than that. It can mean trouble or annoyance, right? Quit giving me grief, right? We use it that way. It can mean someone can grieve you. They cause you a difficulty and you're just, You know, you see the person come in the room and you're like, oh, great, right? You know, you're grieved by them. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. We'll see that couple of verses later. And you can also give someone grief as a slang, right? Oh, come on, quit griefing me, man, right? Interesting how weird our language is, because those don't mean what we're talking about today, okay? Most of them don't. The dictionary says, one of the dictionaries that I pulled, deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. Grief has primarily to do with loss, and that's just, you know, that you feel that, don't you, when you're at a funeral of someone that you really cared about. And you just think, man, think about, you know, especially I think of my sister, when my sister died, it's just like, man, there's so many things. It's just gone. My grandmother was still alive then. That's how young I was. My grandmother Wiggert, she died at 62 or 3. She retired and died just a few months later from a brain tumor. She worked at an Army ammunition plant where the government's not all that careful with their chemicals, you know, and she died. And my grandmother comforting me then, I remember that was really special. But it has to do with loss. You have a loved one, you know, I think like Roger, he was a dear friend, and now he's gone. And so I grieved, you know, he's gone. And it's sad, you know. Some Christians will say, well, don't be sad, they're in heaven. I'm sorry, I'm sad. I'm not in heaven, right? You know, I'm not in heaven. And that there is loss, and that loss is real. And don't ever forget that death is not part of God's original creation for this world. It's not supposed to be here. Death is something that should cause grief because it's a real separation. It's real brokenness. It has to do with loss, though. And I would say this. I don't think this is further on down the line in the notes. It may be. It may come up again, but listen to this. You grieve because sometimes you can grieve because you're selfish, but that's not really grief, okay? So don't worry about that. But you grieve because you loved that person, okay? You love that person. There's some connection there. There's some loss, a relational loss, and you can't really grieve without love. You know, you love them, and so you miss them. You want them in your life. You want them back, and so you grieve. Some believe that grief has stages to it. I don't know that some of this is, you know, you feel these things, but I don't know if I agree with all of this, but this is a thing that's out there. It starts with shock, then you deny, get angry, bargaining, you know, that's, some people do that, I guess. I don't think I've ever done that. Well, if I do that, and that happens, I counsel people that try to do that, bargain with God, bargain with their experience, their circumstances, I don't know. Turns into depression, then acceptance. Again, not sure about that. some of us never really, you know, how do you accept it? I think you just move on or you deal with it, you know. I don't know if you accept it. And then you have to live with the loss and live with the grief. That's true, right? You have to learn how to live with it. So then some questions for our time this morning and even just our life, right? We're trying to think deeply about grief. And by the way, so I guess I'll save that. We're trying to think deeply about grief. How should we see it? What, you know, I guess I will say something about it. A lot of Christians really struggle with grief. How do you deal with, how do you see it? What is it? What is it? What am I doing? What am I feeling? I get these questions constantly. And, you know, people start whole groups, grief share, right? And trying to process grief and figure it out. How should we respond to the grief? How do you cope with it? Sometimes you just like, it's just overwhelming. How am I going to get through this, right? I don't even know how I'm going to have another day. How, and can you overcome it? Should you overcome it? Two good questions. Can you overcome grief and should you? Should it be something that you overcome? And really a kind of a key question, is there a good way to handle grief? And I'll just for free tune in a few minutes. Yeah, there is a good way to handle grief. There's a right way to handle grief. So that's in the notes here. I submit there is a right way to grieve. And all everyone's experience is different with grief because we're different people. We experience it different. We think about it different. We handle it different. We put on a different face at times. I'm not 100% good at this, but I usually sort of wear my... What you see is what you get. I know you don't immediately don't want to believe that whenever someone says it, but it's really true about me. I just really don't have any much hidden. I mean, it's just all blah out there, right? And so I don't do a good job putting on a strong face. I try sometimes, but not really. Our experience, how we face it, is different. Some people, they go to work, or some people get angry, or some people put energy into something else, but we all experience it. It just looks a little different to us. You might think someone died and then their spouse was out doing a bunch, getting a second job, and doing, so, wow, they didn't even grieve. Well, be careful about that. They're probably just grieving different than you would, right? But our expression is different, but the experience is the same. We feel it. We feel the loss. We feel the grief. And let's talk about it, I guess. So the first thing is, let me answer somebody's question, maybe not here, but maybe somebody listening, who knows. Grief is not sinful. You got to get that. Grief is not sinful in itself. And some of you might think, duh, don't think that. A lot of people, and I mean a fair amount of people, struggle with that. And there's some reasons. Sometimes we chase that down in individual cases, and because the grief overwhelms them, because the grief spirals them out of control, because the grief stops them from doing normal life activities, because the grief turns into depression, they feel like the whole situation was sinful, right? It's just not true. And that's not helpful in overcoming or dealing with grief either, to just say, well, I'm sinning. That's way too reductionist, okay? You have to do a better job with that. The grief itself is not sinful. Maybe you expressed it sinfully, and maybe you began to express it sinfully, but it's not sinful of itself. So the grief is not your problem. Maybe how you're handling it, what you're thinking in the middle of it, what's going on, things like that, may or may not be sinful in those cases. And remember the issues of weak conscience. Maybe you feel like it was sinful. Talk to somebody about it. Maybe you're just thinking, maybe you have a weak conscience and it's not. You just need to grieve. People wonder, you get bad advice, sometimes well-meaning bad advice. I cringe at a lot of funerals. I hear some of the boneheaded things people say to people. I say, oh. Read the psalm read the part of Job where his friends did a good job. They sat with him for 7 days and no one said anything. Many of us need to learn that, right? Right, you know? And be careful what you say in those times. And well-meaning, you know, people with a good heart, they still can be not helpful. Grief can paralyze you. And you have to really be careful on how you're dealing with it. And I think, and again, if it gets to that where it's paralyzed you, you're probably not dealing with it well. You're not expressing it correctly. But it's not sinful itself. However, there is a right and wrong way to grieve. That's why. Why would we even talk about it? Just to say, okay, we all grieve. No, there are answers, and there is a right and wrong way to grieve. In broadly, there's a right and wrong way to grieve. But we're talking about when a loved one dies. There's a right and wrong way to grieve, and that gets hard. And I'll try to help with that a little later. But there is. Our expressions of grief can turn sinful, but like every emotion, there are right and wrong expressions. There is a holy expression of anger and a sinful expression of anger. There's a holy expression of any kind of emotion and a sinful expression, and grief is the same. Grief is just an emotion, and it's for expressing loss and in a fallen world. Grief is also a normal part of life. It's not sinful, and it's a normal part of life. If you ever love or have loved in a fallen world, you will have grief. A connection is made. If you genuinely love, the connection will be broken. Right? Should we live in a world where we love and we have no care and we just say, oh, they're dead, oh well. Right? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Right? Because we live in a fallen world and because we love, we're going to experience grief. Grief is normal. It has to do with loss, and death is our reality, and so we're going to experience that loss. Now, we're going to look at some verses. Not all of these hit our definition, but most of them are pretty close, but at least help us with grief and seeing that it's not sinful. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Be gracious to me, O Lord. I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. My soul and my body also. It feels like that. It's just your whole being. It's exhausting. Your body gets sore. It's just awful. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. It's normal in this life. It's what we experience. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, a spirit is crushed. That's a great explanation of how grief feels. Though you make them grow on the day that you plant them and make them blossom in the morning that you sow, yet the harvest will flee away in a day of grief and incurable pain. Ouch. Jeremiah, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Grief. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and his whole life was grief, just the loss. You know, the whole nation of Israel, just all of the loss and their turning from God just grieved him. He wept constantly. My eyes caused me grief at the fate of all the daughters of my city. He said, I look out and I see the death and destruction of the daughters of my city. It doesn't have to be like this. Why do we turn from God? He's just expressing his grief. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan before their eyes. It's a normal experience in life. Paul the Apostle had grief. And again, not all of these fit our definition, certainly, but some. That I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. He indeed was ill near to death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but me. So I shouldn't have sorrow on sorrow. He said, I didn't have to experience grief because he didn't die. All right? He said, I would have. So now if the Apostle Paul is saying, I would have grieved, right? It's not sinful. It's a normal part of life. The Christian call, if you will, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. I would note this one. We'll come back to this one, but note this one in your mind. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and as having nothing and yet possessing everything. It's that faith juxtaposition, if you will, that we can live in the middle of a broken world, always sorrowing, but always having joy and rejoicing. That doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. All right, stay tuned. It may sound like it doesn't make any sense, but it does. Next, God himself experiences grief. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. God grieved over what we've done to his beautiful creation. God grieved. Ended up wiping it out again, starting over. Terrible. The sin and the death he saw, and he was probably even grieved at what he had, what we forced him to do, what people forced him to do. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is grievable. God the Spirit grieves. We grieve him by our terrible actions. And God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself. Jesus is the most vivid or visual expression of God experiencing grief. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. This is in the garden. He said, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." He experienced grief. Specifically, in Isaiah, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him and put him to grief. You can think with me of Jesus Christ coming back to his friend Lazarus having died. And there he is, he's dead. And everyone's grieving. And they're just broken because Lazarus has died. And Jesus could have helped him, he could have saved him. And Jesus felt grief just because everyone else was grieving. He even knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he still felt grief. Some people have said maybe he was sad because he was pulling Lazarus out of heaven. It's possible, isn't it? Right? Either way, we know that Jesus experienced grief. He was a man acquainted with grief. Now, before we move on, I'll probably reiterate this not quite as fully, but there's a couple of takeaways from that, isn't it? For one, grief is not sinful. Don't buy into that lie. When you're grieving, you're weak. Your head is going to tell you lies. Don't believe them. People, good meaning friends, are going to tell you things that are not true. Don't believe them. Grief is not sinful. Okay? Let yourself grieve. That's part of the problem, is that we believe that it's all sinful. We don't let the grief happen. You have to experience it. You have to grieve. You should be grieving when you lose someone you love. It's real. It's part of life. The second thing that we get from this, the second takeaway would be that remember, your God knows grief. You're not alone. And I'll come back to this, but grief feels very isolating. You feel like nobody knows or cares or understands. Even when they're sitting there literally with their arm around you, you still feel alone, right? Because there's a loss. You don't know how you're going to go on. You think of a spouse that's married for 50 years, and they're like, "How am I going to even get up tomorrow?" Right? Your God knows. Your God knows what it is to grieve. Your God knows that loss. And then he is also with you. He has said he'll never leave you. He's with you. And even though you feel alone, you know for sure that he is there and he's with you. And there's more, and we'll come back to that. But those, just before we move on, there's more, but we'll come back to that. Now, the main point is sort of the how do we deal with it as Christians, and try to answer a few of those questions from earlier then. And I'm submitting to us that there are two ways to grieve. You could bust my chops and say there's 800 ways to grieve. Fine, if that makes you feel good. There's really two main ways to grieve. And there's all kinds of permutations in between there. And those two ways are without faith and with faith. And now you're going to hearken back with me for a second here. What is, and I hope you don't have to say it out loud unless you really want to try to make me happy today. What is the number one answer for anxiety? Faith, isn't it? Faith in God, trusting God. There's two ways to grieve. You can grieve with faith and you can grieve without faith. And that'll tell you whether or not your grief is sinful, whether you're handling it right. And I'll talk about what that looks like. And by the way, even though we're trying to just because of time and trying to be helpful, focusing in on when you lose a loved one, you could apply this handling of grief to any of the ways grief is expressed in the world, okay? You have to grieve with faith. You can grieve without faith. You can grieve with faith. Grief is an emotion, and it has a righteous expression, but it also has a sinful expression. And sometimes when you're in the middle of grief, it's very, very difficult to figure that out. And sometimes you really need help. You need someone. And that's why we have the church and why God has put good people in our lives to help us think through these things and to sit with us and share the word of God with us. So first of all, grief without faith. Grief without faith. I'm just going to read what I wrote because I thought it through and I don't want to say anything dumb. Grief without faith lacks hope because it lacks faith in God. And I want you to think about yourself. When you are in the middle of grief, if you were to say, okay, I can see what this person needs, what do you need? You need hope. You desperately need some hope. And I know myself, I'm looking at it, and all I can think of is all of the loss, and I can't believe, and I'm reconciling in my head, I don't even know what life is going to look like now. This is just nuts, you know? What, you know, this doesn't make any sense, or how are we going to figure this out? You need hope. There's a future, right? There's good still. There's good ahead, and there's things you can trust God on. Grief without faith lacks hope because it has no faith in God. If God is absent, hope is absent. Isn't that the problem of the atheist? You exclude the Creator, you exclude God from all things, and you somehow think that the world and life makes sense? It makes no sense. This world makes no sense without God, our Creator, right? How many people do you think have been encouraged by an atheistic thought and said, man, you're right, life is good. I'm dead and I'm worm food. I'll never see my dad again. Right? You know, yeah, sign me up, right? Bitterness is what that is. That's not hope. Grief without faith is like that. You exclude God and you have no hope. Who God is and what God is doing is ignored. Hopelessness spirals downward to depression, and the end of faithless grief is despair. And so if you find yourself in despair, think about it. Better get some help. Okay, wait a minute here. I got off track somewhere. I'm down in despair and depression, and I haven't been going to work for 3 days, and I got to talk to somebody. You know, I've ended in despair. I haven't ended in hope. When God is excluded, you have nowhere to turn. So grief without faith, you don't have any God to turn to, right? You're trying to handle it yourself. You're trying to figure it out yourself. You're trying to make sense of it and make it work. And you've excluded God because you don't have faith. And so you don't have anyone to turn to. And then ultimately you have, and this is sort of ultimately, but you have no answer for the unanswerable questions, right? That's, again, the problem of the atheist. Because death is a reality. Everyone will tell you that. I had listened to a financial presentation this month, and the dude told us 12 times, you're going to die. You better make sure that you plan for it. And I'm like, man, that's good. You just need to add the gospel onto that, and you really scored well on this financial thing, right? He's trying to get you to get money for your funeral or whatever. Who cares, right? You're dead. You don't care about your funeral. You're either in hell or heaven at that point, right? If you exclude God, there's no answer. Well, what happens when you die? Right? That's grief without faith. God is excluded, and there's no answer to the questions. And grief, you will be questioning, oh, right? You know, what's going on? Or what, you know, I don't, you know, how am I going to handle this? Where are they? Are they okay? All those kind of things. Now, grief with faith, then. Grief with faith is radically different. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Wow. Now notice this. Smells a little bit like a commandment, doesn't it? We don't want you to be uninformed. You need to learn. Think about it. About those who are asleep, that you might not grieve as others who have no hope. Don't grieve like people who have no hope. When you're grieving, it has to include faith. Why? You have hope, right? Right? We forget it, though, don't we? Don't we forget it sometimes? And sometimes we don't really forget it. We just need to work through it, right? It just depends on where you land, how you're dealing through the process. But grieve with hope. Grieve with faith. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though through Jesus, God will bring those with him who have fallen asleep. We know, right? We know. Remind yourself of some of these kinds of truths. And before I guess I don't know that I'd come back to this, so I guess I'll stop here for a second. Probably some of the hardest grief for me, and I suppose, you know, if you know Christ, some of the hardest grief for us is when someone we love dies outside of Christ. That's so hard. I had to do a funeral for my uncle who hated God. Ouch. Man, that was rough. And it's eulogy, you know, so you say good words. So I didn't get up and say, "Welcome everyone, Uncle Mike is in hell." Right? That's not eulogy. So, eulogy, I guess. So I shared the gospel, and a friend of mine, Jerry, he's with the Lord now too, he said, just say, if they want to have any chance to ever see him again, that they need to trust Christ. And so I did. I said that. But and no one knows. That's part of dealing with a loved one that dies outside of Christ. And my dad and I had that conversation real early on. One of our friends died, and he's like, "Man, that dude's in hell." And I said, "Dad, we don't know. Okay, God is gracious." And I said, "When we get to heaven, if we find out he's in hell, we'll be able to handle it. We can't handle it now." And we don't know. We have no window into heaven, okay? You don't know what God's going to do. Once that person is gone, there's no sense in going down that road and pretending like you do know for sure. Now, as close as you can get with my Uncle Mike, I'm, you know, he hated God. That's hard, okay? But I do trust God, though, you see? I trust God in that. And my uncle had every opportunity to trust Christ. It's on him. And even from me, he had every opportunity to trust God, so he didn't. Just as an aside, that's difficult, but remember, you can still trust God, even though you're uncertain, I would say that way. You're uncertain as to their eternal destiny. And remember that you are uncertain, right? You're not certain. You have evidence. While they're alive, you want to point out that evidence. When they're dead, it's too late. Don't go there, okay? Okay, remind yourself of some of these truths, that you do have hope, that there is a future, that Christ has provided a way for you to be with him forever. God is near you. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Remember that. Tell yourself that. God is near you. He is with you. Envision in your own mind the Creator, or even just Jesus if it's easier for you, or God the Father or Jesus with his hand around you. Envision that. Remember these truths. God is near. And grief can feel lonely. He has promised to never leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel like, you know, like a widow will say, "I have never felt so alone in all my life." But I've also had widows say, this verse is precious to me. God is with me. I'm alone. My husband is gone, but I'm not alone. God is with me. Remember that God is compassionate. But though he caused grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, of his chesed, and his all-encompassing love and mercy. So remember that. Think about this one. So think about this. One of the names that Jesus was given in Isaiah is what? Emmanuel. That's a Christmas verse, and it means Jesus was born. No. That's not what it means. It means God with us. That's not just Christmas, right? Jesus became God with us. And then he said, "I'll never leave you." That's really important, isn't it? His name means I'm with you. That's awesome, isn't it? I'm with you. Don't forget that. Remember that all suffering is for a season. It doesn't last forever. Don't worry, time heals all wounds. Nope, that's a lie. You do learn to deal with it. You do. But the suffering changes for sure, right? And even if I experienced grief and I just felt it the rest of my life, it ends when you die and you get to heaven and all things are made right. All suffering is for a season. It doesn't last forever. It feels like it sometimes, right? I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this, or I don't know life is just now, it's completely different. It's all new. One of my favorite singers has a line in a song that says, home is not a place you can still get to by train. That's my reality. I can't go home anymore. Home is gone. Home is in heaven right now. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But there are aspects of home. I love our home. I can go see my dad in his new home, but my mom is not there. So you can't get there. You can't go back. It's for a season. I get to see my mom again. She was in the Lord. I'll see her as I've never seen her before, right? Think about how much of my memory is my mom being sick. 11 years. Sixth of her life, something like that. She was sick. And she won't be sick anymore. Remember old Loretta, Prostein, and Bob fighting the good fight for the last 5-10 years of their life and doing most of you all up in their 80s, right? Showing you up. Man, they suffered. Loretta could hardly walk, and she had that joke, Bob pushing me around again, Pastor, right? We get to see them in heaven, fixed up, right? Suffering is for a season. It doesn't last forever. We grieve, we miss them, but we get to see them again. Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, right? It's normal. But the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. When Christ died, can you imagine if none of the disciples sorrowed? They're like, oh well, right? That would be stupid. That would be nuts. People would be like, wow, that didn't mean anything to you, right? You will sorrow. You will lament. Think about that. Lament. That's grief. You'll cry out in anguish. But your sorrow will turn into joy. They only had to wait 3 days, right? Some of us have to wait longer. Suffering is for a season. It's not eternal. Well, unless you're outside of Christ. But grief is for a season. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. When she has delivered a baby, she doesn't even remember the pain. Right? Because a human being has been born. That's the idea there. It's for a season. Suffering is part of God's redemptive plan. Christ suffered amazingly. And so we have to keep that in mind. And remember that the dead in Christ are in heaven and will rise again. Let's see, 22 I have also. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So suffering is for, sorrow, grief is for a season, joy is forever. Keep that in mind. Good days ahead. Good days ahead. It's part of God's redemptive plan, but the dead in Christ will rise again. And remember that in our suffering, God is glorified. This is interesting. This is a gracious thing when mindful of God. One endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. A majority of our grief is just for someone that died, and we have to suffer, and it's hard, and it's awful, and there's real loss, and it's not right. It's not supposed to be here. Sins of all before us have caused this world to be broken. It's not supposed to be like this. Just remember that. God is glorified through our suffering, and there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for faith, isn't there? And that's where, that's where I see the Christian really shining, because we have hope. And in the middle of our sorrow, we can have a different answer for the world. I don't know how many times at funerals I've heard and been asked and talked to and say, and be able to give the hope that is in Christ to people that don't have any hope. And we suffered, we sorrowed, we grieve differently. We grieve with hope. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's how we pull it off. We do still sorrow. Don't let anybody tell you not to grieve. If they do, tell them they're wrong. Well, I'm supposed to grieve. Why wouldn't I grieve? I loved the person I lost. Right? But did you know that I also have joy in the middle of my sorrow? How is that possible? That doesn't make any sense. Because I am grieving with faith. I am sorrowing. It hurts. There is real loss. Death isn't supposed to be in this world. But I have a great God. And he has made a way for people who have died to live again and for their sins to be forgiven. And I believe that. And so, of course, I have joy and sorrow at the same time. Always rejoicing. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, making many rich. Having nothing, but having everything. Awesome. We have hope because of who God is. God is faithful and good, and he can be trusted. One of the worst funerals I've ever been to was at Calvary Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant. And a baby died. A baby of some friends of ours, a sister of one of my good friends. Her baby died. And they had a guy come in to speak, and I was working at the church at the time, so I did the sound for the funeral. The speaker came up, and one of the first things he said is, "I would love to give you some hope, but I have none." I about jumped out of my chair, I'll tell you what. But their tradition was to have people say words at the funeral, and my friend, who was a Christian, stood up and said, told the gospel, and said, "The baby's in heaven, of course you have hope." We have hope because of who God is. God is faithful, right? We believe his promises. Now, faith takes faith, right? We have to trust. We have to believe. We don't get sight. I don't see my mother right now, right? But I trust she's in heaven. I know, in a sense, right? I don't experientially know, but I know I will see my mother again. So we grieve by faith. Grief with faith is different. It is radically different. It still hurts, and we still experience it, and we let ourselves grieve. We let ourselves experience the pain. It's reality. We talk about it. We cry. We pour our hearts out to God. We lament. It feels horrible, but we recognize it's for a time, and we trust God. Grief is right because loss is real, and if you don't grieve, something's wrong. There's either no love or I don't know, you need to think about it, you know. Maybe you're hard-hearted, or maybe it's your way of, your cultural way of trying to buck up against the pain and you don't want to have to feel it, that happens. But grief is right. Loss is real. Love causes grief. Death isn't supposed to be part of this creation. And praise God, when he fixes it, it won't be, right? Won't that be nice? When we get to an existence in heaven where there's no more grief? Won't that be awesome? No more faith. Oh, what do you think about that? We'll have sight. God's right there. Won't that be cool? Grief is right. Grief still hurts. But by faith, your sorrow is always mixed with hope. Talk to yourself. As sorrowing, yet always rejoicing, right? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Letting the grief run its course, if you will. Letting yourself grieve, and don't believe the lies, man. Just you should grieve. If you loved the person, you will miss them. You will grieve, but have hope. God is good. He can be trusted. He knows what he's doing, and let him work through that. So grieve with hope. And let's pray. Well, God, thank you for the time to talk about this real life issue. And I no idea, but I hope it was helpful to everyone. And we know we're going to be experiencing death in this world and how it feels and dealing with it. And some of us, it goes out of control and we end up in depression or despair. God, I pray for your people that we would never be people of despair, that we would lament, that we would grieve, but we would always mix our mind of grief with hope. We trust you. You are good. You are our God. You are all powerful. You are compassionate and loving, and you care for us, and you're with us, and you walk through these times with us, and so we're thankful for that. God, busy day this afternoon, and pray that you'd give us grace and help in our need, and as your word goes out even in the next hour, we pray that it would be fruitful, and just send us on our way with hope, and just help us as we interact with our neighbors this week to speak of Christ in his name. Amen.